The Grade Cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
Boys!
Get a few today, did you?
To be honest with you, I hate grade cricket.
I went into to play for a team called... the name escaped me.
Obviously, sharing's always a big issue for young kids coming into a senior cricket team.
Tiger was like a witness, please.
A bit of a guy, so a player, sort of one.
I refer to the great cricketer here, and I'll say, this will do a little bit early.
Are Australia the best team that anyone has ever seen in this life? Talk about visceral minutes. I'm talking visceral days. It's a visceral summer. It's an Ashes summer, and I feel good. I'm feeling alive. I'm feeling something. Let's hear from what the fans have to say.
What the fuck was that? Front foot, no balls, dropping it in the slips. Fuck me. You guys are a disaster. Up the Aussies.
That pretty much sums up the entire show. No, come on. Come on. It is the hope that kills you, and we've got to give the English listeners out there some hope. Bob Hope. This episode is brought to you by Budgie Smuggler. Use the code CHAMP at checkout at budgiesmuggler.com.au. All that to come. There's the Ashes, there's the BBL. Virat Kohli found out he got dropped from the ODI captaincy via Twitter. It's all good stuff. Ian Higgins here, Sam Perry there. Pezzy lad, happy summer to you.
Mate, happy summer to
you. We're wearing t-shirts. There's a big yellow thing in the sky. Christmas is around the corner. There's fucking candy canes and carols, Santa hats.
Christmas is around the corner. I went to a Christmas event with my father-in-law, his family, over the weekend. The sun was out. Some Christmas carols were on. Mm. There was some fresh seafood.
The
lid is starting to get a bit crisp around the edges with the sun beating down on it.
Your lid's getting crisp.
A little bit of champagne.
A crisp lid.
You know, the father-in-law's asking about the cricket. Oh, what have we done at the Poms this time?
That's right.
It felt good.
That's right.
Everything
That's
was
right.
seeping in nicely.
That's
you know?
Right.
I was wearing sandals. You know. Summer's here. And didn't the Aussies bring in summer correctly?
Mm. Hey.
Look, mate, look, you know, you've been consistent throughout the year, to be fair to you. You've been consistent about how to approach these Ashes series. I've said this before. I said on the Patreon, patreon.com/greycricketer. Like, I don't want a side mouth as a 36-year-old with children and growing up. I don't want the demons. I've got the suburban Aussie demons inside me.
We all do. Yeah.
We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the adult who respects the opposition. You know, I want to hear Australians side mouth arrogantly and think, you know what, we've got another lesson coming to us, the lesson of hubris. I'm sure there was some Bible shit about it somewhere. Can't think of it.
Okay.
Kind of got over it after school, you know, worked it out.
I've seen Sam Perry's wish list. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Now tell me what is.
Well, England, you made it very hard, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
The very first ball.
Oh, my
God. And, you know, what. Sorry to make it so visceral, but like Stark pitches it up.
Yeah.
In a different world.
Half volley.
It is a half volley.
No swing.
Does swing, Shane, if you are listening. But in a parallel world, that gets clipped for four.
Yeah. Good clip.
Instead, it crashes into the stump
and
Rory Burns, who you have down for 7,000 test runs.
Yeah. I've said a lot of dumb things. Yeah.
It's okay. We all have. Rory Burns, instead of being England's quirky compiler, is a comical totem. He's a comical totem for the series. It is the worst thing that could have happened. The number of still images I've seen, both public and going around on encrypted WhatsApps of like, what the fuck is this mess of a technique?
Yeah.
It is the comical totem.
Yes.
The last
thing
England needed.
His foot went to cover like he was a synchronized swimmer dipping the toe in the water.
Exactly.
He's a good player.
But he's not. This is the thing. He can't. You know what
I'm sorry, he's not. Yeah, he's not anymore.
That still image sums the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mate. I will write a PhD on Rory Burns as a good player. You know, there's some great analysis about Travis Head's output. Forget how he does it, it's the output. Rory Burns is output.
Yeah.
But fuck, have a look at it. You know, the last thing England needs is a that is the totem of the series.
Your mouth just faced the same direction. Rory Burns' front foot went.
I'm talking to a doctor and he's got Bell's palsy. You've developed Bell's palsy watching Rory Burns.
I mean,
fuck. Jack Leach is a poor man's Mitch Santner.
Mate, yeah, unfortunately. You know just how the Harmison ball, the Harmison ball is just like, well, we knew what was going to happen when we saw that first ball. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Just cannoned into leg stump.
A cannon is correct verb.
You know, like, I'm so happy that summer's here. I'm doing the melting face again.
You got the munch melting face up now.
I'm melting.
Clip it up.
Yeah, exactly. Turned into a fucking meme three times this week. You know, summer's here because you start getting questions from strangers on the street when they want to talk about the cricket and you don't know how hard to go into the conversation. Yeah. When they start talking about, like, oh, where's Brad Haddin? It's like, oh, okay, well, I need to tone it down.
Yeah, that's right. Why are you twitching? I'm just trying to be an adult.
That was actually an army experiment. But, you know, and so I'm excited for it. And there are very few moments in the summer where something will fucking get you out of your seat. And, like, we were watching the first ball together, holding hands.
Of course, kissing.
Thelma and Louise gear. And you were off. Got up and you just walked out.
And
you were hosing yourself as well. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I know, you sat on the couch. I blacked out. I came to. I was the other side of the room.
Having conniptions on the floor.
It was the Joel Wilson, Lathan Lyon incident in reverse for me. Yeah. I went somewhere and then I was somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I will say for England, and I will be speaking for England,
please,
is that, like, you have to – that's why Headingley is, in a very macabre way, one of my favourite Ashes moments, because you have to live that extreme pain. And, look, England's pain might last more than one LBW appeal, as it did at, you know, the third test in 2019. Third test, yeah. But, like, you've got to ride these moments where it's like, oh, this is fucking grim. So then you can have your 2010, you know, away Ashes series where we just got absolutely pumped by a great England team. Mm. So, you know, you have to ride it a bit. You've got to live it and you've got to feel the pain. You trap it up inside and then you take it out on your family and friends later, obviously, during the festive season.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do, yeah.
There's some advice for you.
We're actually about to bring on a new sponsor, which is, you know, accessing psychologists online. But, yeah. Take out all of your toxicity on family and friends over Christmas. Let's be honest.
Just be grumpy, surly. I don't know, man.
There's some visceral stuff there. He goes, look, can I suggest, can we in a very tight way go through this game?
Never.
No, we can't, no, can we?
That's what we do.
We've got a few people coming up on the show. We don't know if they're coming, so we're not going to tell you who they are.
Everyone's moving to Adelaide.
Everyone's going to Adelaide.
Oh, by the way, the Queensland border just opened up today.
Yeah, good.
That's good.
Cheers. Yeah.
Nice one.
Good stuff, Australia, all round, actually.
Yeah.
Look.
Omicron's coming home. What?
Okay, I'm going to ask you. He goes.
Okay.
Do it in order. Selections, go. Broad, Anderson, did they fuck it up? Or doesn't it matter?
Guys, very yes, no. Yes. Yeah. I'll say yes, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah. Toss, fuck it up?
No, I don't think so.
Jack Leach, you know, selection.
Nah, he had to play. He had to play.
Okay, I'll ask you those three things in one go because there's a lot
and
of
very fairly as
there's,
well.
There's a lot of and with great preparation.
Oh, well, you said this.
No, I agree because there's a lot of people out there and they think they're being analytical and critical of the England side by doing this, but I think they're being kind. There's a lot of people out there inferring that there was some tactical manoeuvring that England could have observed to somehow change the outcome of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Pick Broad and Anderson, 1,100 test wickets on the bench. You can't leave them in there. Bowl first. It's a bowling day. They should have done that. Jack Leach, you need to set some more defensive fields, etc. Do you understand, he goes, had England taken the reverse decision on each of these things, I think we end up with the same outcome.
Oh, yeah.
Atherton was right. This was an outclassing.
Yeah.
It would have been the same result, different smell. Different way of achieving it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think very rarely you'd lose a game by 9 wickets, and if you just change one thing, then it would have been reversed. I don't see that.
Sliding doors at Anderson and Broad come in. Let's say England do decide to bowl first. It's a bowling day. Australia jammy 300 and they just find a different way to win. I don't think that the sliding doors actually change the result too much. I think the issue for England feels a little bit deeper than that. It feels like, you know, I thought they went for horses for courses. I thought it was positive and proactive. Got to go horses. The problem is they're racing a champion horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse is from the bush. We've said that for a long time.
He's in the stables now. Well,
you know, it's not about how to play the game. So it's a matchup. Which horses are you against? The horses are too good.
I think we'll We'll get greater understanding because I do think that they should have played one of Borden and Anderson, but I think we'll get greater understanding about that decision in the context of the rest of the series. Now, of course, when we're just looking at one game and you're looking at what's going to happen, you just think, no, just play your best team because this is the game that you have to win now. That is partially true, but we'll get greater understanding. Like we saw, like basically every bowler is like going through something. They're so unmatch fit because they had no warm-ups after, you know, the back end of the IPL into the World Cup into it pissing down for a month in Queensland. So no cricket. But so, yeah, I think we'll get greater understanding. But fundamentally, okay, roll for 147.
Yep.
Okay, not enough runs, sure. But they then get to Australia to 5 for 190.
Yep.
And then is Warner dropped at that point?
No, he was dropped before then.
Yeah. But, like, you know.
Warner was dropped on 47.
Yes,
he was, and then there was a misrun with Hamid after that. He was bowled off a no ball from Stokes, which doesn't count. He was on 17.
Yeah.
He did concede. There were chances to get rid of him.
That's right. And then that partnership, I think Travis Head gets 150. Marnus's innings, I think, wins the game.
Yep.
In lots of ways. But you can't really give him man of the match. But I think he was the man. I think he was the player of the match, you know, if that makes sense. Because I think without his innings, I think Australia would be in trouble.
It was
because
the best innings of the match from a purist technical perspective.
Well, I think it also just allowed Travis Head to score 150 later on when bowls were a little bit tired. The wickets sort of got flat in that last session, day two, and then day three looked the best time to bat. Anyway, my point being with England, they got themselves into positions where they get back in the game, and then their team just isn't good enough to then be so far, put themselves so far behind to then turn it around. Now, from what I saw in this game, like I've been saying 5-0, I think it's silly. I don't think Australia are good enough necessarily even if 5-0, but I'm going to maintain the line 5-0, fuck off.
Okay.
But, you know, it just also goes to show how hard it is to win games here in Australia. It is really hard. England have brought equally good squads against equally good Australian teams, I suppose, in the last two tours and haven't won a game. Like, it's hard to win. But, like, fundamentally, I don't think that their team is not good enough to win the Ashes. And Australia are a very good front-running team. That's kind of the basis of
all right,
what
very, very sober analysis. Now, did you know Marnus has played
Who's got a big penis?
You know, exactly. Now, Ollie Pope's played more tests than Marnus. He looked good for a bit, Ollie Pope. And then he got out.
Rory Burns has only played 5 less tests than Australia's captain, Pat Cummins.
Yeah, yeah. I think that just means Australia hasn't played this year that much, really, and England plays
That's a fair bit. That's true.
Other things to touch on here. He goes, the big boy Cameron Green got involved in the game. Tall runs, not so much runs.
See,
but
statistically... Tall leave.
But he was a presence, wasn't he? Got the ball moving a little bit.
Statistically, he went sharp in the, you know, the XG.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck. But he was significant. In terms of his spells, he bowled 2 really important 3 or 4 over spells. Gets ruled out in the second innings, blah, blah, blah. But he's good.
But presence and mitts, I think, is the main
thing. I liked that England saw him in the anthems because he's fucking massive.
Yes, he's fucking massive. And then, look, the GOAT, 400 wickets. Now, you can't take 400 wickets as a trundler. I like how the conversation around Nathan Lyon leading up to the 400 wickets still has a dog whistle of, can this bloke bowl?
Yeah,
you know,
that is
the entitlement of Australia.
Like,
he's 309. I was like, mate, you know, is he any good, this bloke?
Man, imagine if he was Kiwi.
Fuck, it's
what the fuck's this?
400 wickets. Has he proved himself
yet? Exactly.
I think is the question.
I think he's got a career ahead of him.
As a nation, we're about as difficult to please as Ian Chappell is, you know?
Of course.
Like Travis Head brought up his 150, a courageous, scintillating. Match-winning innings,
blistering
with his career on the line, prepared to play how he wants to play.
Fastest 100 ever at the Gabba.
Among Ian Chappell's comments, as he was asked to sum it up, was, "I still don't trust him."
You got to be good.
You got to be good.
You've got
Jeffrey Boycott's headline: England, why are we so stupid? Intravenously hook that to my veins,
please.
And really, he goes, England did really well to come back into the match on the shoulders of one man plus Milan.
Yeah.
But fuck me, you know, they are so good for a bad session, England. You know, I forgot that, mate. They are sick for self-sabotage.
You know,
and we all are in a lot of ways in our life.
Mate, I'm the biggest self-saboteur there is.
So I can't judge it, but I'm fucking sick for it.
Mate, you know how sometimes when it's warm and it's a bad day to be a schooner? Tell you what, when England's playing, it's a bad day to be a bad session.
Gotta say, you know, there was a moment in the afternoon where, look,
that was a stretch.
The moment the third afternoon as Root and Milan batted on And fuck, Root looked sumptuous. He looked beautiful.
Sensational.
Big boy stuff.
Still,
you know?
Oh, straight blade. How are we gonna busy.
Get, how are we going to get this coat out?
Yeah.
And the bush horse is down there at fine leg. But he looks injured. Is he lame?
Yeah.
We don't know. Is the bush horse lame? And there's a little bit of to and fro at the end of the day. Manus is saying, no, he's free. Just wanted to keep him fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm there getting skittish, going like, well, hang on. If you know, if he's fresh, why haven't you bowled
him? Hang
you
on
know,
a
it's
second.
Two for 220, letting them back into the game.
Yeah, come on.
If you keep, you know, anyway. And then the next day, you know, we all picked it, the GOAT, three wickets, waiting for the new ball,
oh,
of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
I thought that was a big tick for Cummins's captaincy. I thought it was a big tick for patience. I've done a piece in The Guardian. I think it's going out today.
How's the piece on
about,
it?
Well, we don't really need to speculate, do we? I've never heard how the piece is on it, but
sure.
I'm sure it's no problems. Yeah, but yeah. I thought one of the things that stood out in this game from a captaincy perspective was Cummins' calmness. There's so much – he radiates it. Like, it's almost as though he's diametrically opposed to pre-intervention Langer. Like, everything he does is like, everyone, chill the fuck out, shut the fuck up. It's going to be okay. And even as we got to the afternoon, all the Aussies starting to get a little bit skittish. You know, we were just like, what's going on? England's coming back. They don't know how to reverse it.
Yeah.
They relaxed. And they actually held the bush horse off, who turns out to be injured.
Yeah, yeah. He's back home in the stables
he's
now.
He's back home in the stables now. Flying rest home. And recuperating. Bit of track work maybe. I don't know how they rehabilitate horses. Let us know.
Yeah.
And they're just a little masterstroke there. He'll be right for Melbourne, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, to that end, with the calmness – one thing I thought that was noticeable was the calmness of the DRS reviews.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that in the sense that there was very little kerfuffle around it. That's the word that I thought of just then. I took a pause. Kerfuffle.
Thanks.
Alex Carey was a calm presence as well. And I liked it. I think it was good. I think it was good that Steve Smith played his role on the field. Pat Cummins has spoken well about, I think he told him to bowl himself another over, and then he got the wicket on that over or something. There was a moment where Cam Green took a catch off, was that off Stokes? Might have been. And he like pointed at Steve Smith when he took the catch. You know, it's just these little moments. It seems to be gelling nicely.
Mate, it's other person-centric, which Cummins is leading. Cummins used a lot of his presses to congratulate members of his team. He even afforded praise to Steve Smith for Cummins' wicket by saying, Smith said, I think it's your turn to bowl now after Stark had taken a wicket.
Right.
You know, it's only little things like when Head got his 100, Cummins is all over social media praising Travis Head. Just little things like that. Green saying, you know, he apologised to Cummins for over-celebrating his first wicket.
Mm.
I don't know. It has the whiff of humility.
I am looking
It's probably just deferring to the alpha.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the Cummins tweet that says, something like credit to the boys, play well.
But he, you know, and Alex Carey, I don't know about you, he goes, you don't have children that we know of. You've said that for a long time. But like Alex
long
Carey,
time.
Alex
long
Carey
time.
To me, I mean, was that necessary for me? I mean, it's just.
I read someone say that earlier on paper.
Right, yeah, that's stuff just comes in and it just scrolls through my head. Apologize.
Yeah.
But Alex Carey to me, like.
It's a teleprompter
of patron messages.
That's right.
He just looked like he imbued the sort of assuredness and maturity that you hope for as a parent when you're meeting a new babysitter. You know, the babysitter comes over and is like, you're a safe pair of hands.
I can't relate
you're
to this.
That's what I said. You don't have children.
Oh, sorry.
No,
right.
It was a long lead-in.
So I'll sit here and just sit
no,
there,
but
shut
I mean,
up.
I'm just saying like,
no, you're right.
Didn't Carey in his own way for a debutante just make you feel like, hey, there's an adult behind the stumps. Not saying Tim Payne wasn't, but it was just, hey, he's okay. He's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I do think that, because also I think he put his hand up to
open,
which is good, but he's also opened in ODI cricket. So it makes sense. I was actually thinking that he would do that. So I was right once again. Yay.
Once again.
Yeah, I think Carey, his shield form this year has not been good with the batting. He averages 20.
Mm-hmm.
He averages 30 in shield cricket. I think his ceiling is higher than Tim Payne's.
Payne can score 100. Feel like he can score 100.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. And his gloves was great. His gloves were great. I think they were as good as Payne's. Payne for me is slightly best gloves in the country. And then Carey would be next. I actually not seen Inglis.
Which is part of what
before.
Titillates about him.
Well,
I haven't seen it.
Oh, the whole country wants Inglis. No one's ever seen him.
Well, exactly.
I've seen him play 3 games in the 100.
There's a reason people like blindfolds.
Yeah, but where the handcuffs come in, though? And the dog collar. Ball gag? I can't stop talking now.
Glory hole.
but yeah, like most ever catches for a debutant or something. I feel like that's.
But if he was taking seven screens, he was tidy. He was otherwise,
very tidy. Mate, I've thought about this for years.
Yeah,
mate, I'd fucking love to keep on the Gabba in a test match.
Right,
that's my make a wish gear. Fucking catching balls make like shoulder high off Hazelwood, slapping the gloves. My fingers are pointing up, and I get to chuck it to whoever's standing at two. Maybe Steve Smith. If it is my make a wish, I get to choose who is fielding it at one and two. For me, Gervais.
Yep.
Gervais at two.
Yep.
And Denzel Washington at one.
Yeah. Denzel Washington at one, Gervais at two.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Mr. Sydney Poitier.
Okay. Can I ask you? He goes, I just want just a little sidebar on.
Sidebar.
Jack Leach.
Bing bong.
We said bing bong. We've got an announcement about that later, but three people will get that. We said about 6 months out that winning in Australia is about having a spinner that can lock you down.
Yeah.
That can lock down the Australian team.
Yeah.
Really only seen like Graham Swan and Ashwin do it in Australia off the top of my head. Maybe Vettori like a while ago.
Mm.
But this was brutal against Jack Leach.
Yep.
And
Where
do they go from here? I mean, have we covered this game enough? Well done, Travis Head. Marnus and Warner, great. Cummins, five. It was a rout. It was a Poonam rout.
I think that's right. Yeah. That's all good. Yeah, let's talk about something else.
So Adelaide.
Oh, wait, can I just talk about, there's actually other things. There was like enormous tech issues in the game.
Which are
funny.
Yeah.
So like the DRS was down for a bit. The whole ICC feed down was for a while. Yeah. And anything else?
A couple of English people kind of, they might have enjoyed the Aussie feed being down for a bit, just judging from the online sentiment. Yeah. Each to their own.
Each to their own.
I quite like it.
Yeah, it's difficult for us to talk about if we want everyone to work again in the media. But
it's often the way with the person who owns that network.
England got docked 100% of their match payments. So that's a real rough day out.
I like that one, he goes, because I just presume that the ICC is the equivalent of the fines master in grade cricket.
Yeah.
So they're still the official timekeeper. Yeah. It's just that in test level, it's just quite a big fine. So they sit around after play distributing fines.
Yeah.
Someone in the England team is invariably, you know, says they studied law once or they read a book or their brother's a lawyer, so they argued the fine.
Yeah.
The fine gets worse.
My dad's a barrister.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the ICC have pulled enough match fines so that, you know, that end of season trip for the ICC panel, Paul Rifle, et cetera, that's not in Newcastle anymore. That's in the Gold Coast, baby. That's fucking Cavill Ave. Keep slowing it down, Rudy.
Yeah, it'd be better if ICC match payments were like done in like, you know, drink measurements. Two fingers. Slow over eight, finish your vessel.
It would be better. Barmy Army, he goes. The Barmy Army getting funny.
Oh, yeah.
The Hazelwood gear. So,
made him sign a thing that said he knew about sandpaper and they couldn't spell on it.
Joshy Hazelwood, do solemnly swear that I knew it was sandpaper. Josh Hazelwood, 11th of December 2021.
Mate, I saw that. I was just in absolute pieces, just on the floor, stitches stuff.
Take the Two is a great follow on Twitter. Proper mental, lads. Top class. Cheers.
Travis Head was fine for swearing after his play miss against Stokes. Let's have a listen to what happened there.
Oh, you cunt. Ooh. Oh, you cunt. Ooh. Cunt, ooh, cunt, ooh, cunt.
I didn't actually pick up what he said, but our video just got demonetized as well. So
about Henry Hunt, I think.
Okay.
You're playing Leach again, so could we go to Adelaide?
Yeah, let's go to Adelaide, mate.
All right, so Australia's played five day-night tests at Adelaide. They've won them all.
Yeah. England have played four tests. Three of them have been away. They've lost to Australia and Adelaide 2017, New Zealand in 2018, Ahmedabad in India last year. They beat the West Indies by an absolute like an innings and 200 runs
in
2017.
Oh, that's good.
West Indies at home, they beat them.
So four years ago, they won a day-night match against the Windies.
So right. So, okay. so this idea that they might have a chance against the pink ball. I mean, we spoke about this when we had the pleasure of going on Max Rushton's show and Charlie Baker on TalkSport. That unfortunately, Australia also get to use the pink ball. And Australia's record with our bowlers are pretty good.
All right, here goes.
Especially Stark.
I see that. I raise it. Broad and Anderson are fit and ready.
Mate, net footage is huge. Net footage is big.
Mate, they're fit and ready.
They're Broad fit and ready. Anderson. Fit and ready.
At this point,
so,
must,
England, think about that.
Must England select them for safety alone?
Well, they'll definitely play. So
both of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I think that comes into Leach. I think Leach
for?
Leach doesn't play.
He's gone?
For me.
Yes. You know, it's massive. It's like, this is a, you know, they're already into robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Now, Jack Leach, friend of the show, I legit felt sorry for him. Well, because I...
Perfect.
That's one of the joys about being 1-0 up.
It's even worse than Sledge.
Mate, Joe Root, what an innings. Yeah, Milan, sensational.
Yeah.
Lost by 9 wickets.
Mm. You've sent Jack Leach a card. Get well soon.
His defensive bowling wasn't good enough. I mean, Australia executed their plans well. Marnus threw away a massive 100 by hitting a half tracker. But
they have fucked Leach all year.
We've called this for a year, mate. Like, you can't not play him in spinning conditions.
Fucking
if your goal is to play in the Ashes. They've shifted their squads around because of COVID, sports science. Now these are fair reasons, but they've been ahead of ahead in series, notably in India. And then they didn't even play him against fucking New Zealand at home when they like shifted their squad out. That's fucked
that's
as
right.
well.
And he's in good form at the time. They say at the start of the year that the priority for the year is the Ashes.
Exactly.
They try and fit their squad around it. Yes, injuries, etc. If the all priority was the Ashes, then a spinner is a massive part of that.
You have to play.
You have to play your spinner. Yeah. They haven't played him all year. They bring him in the biggest graveyard for spin possibly in the world against a rampant Australian side. It's fucking 35 degrees.
Mate, they must have known that Australia were going to tee off on him. They must have known.
Exactly. They gave him every opportunity to get belted, and he was.
Yeah.
I'm very partial to a spinner. They're delicate flowers, spinners. They need to be looked after. Root blamed himself afterwards. That's just, to my mind, that's just classic try and take the attention away. They have a problem, England, when it comes to Leach, because if they do decide that it is correct and he's been hit out of the series, they have got a world of hurt coming their way if they decide to play five seamers. Yeah. Because, yes, it's all well and good to play the spinners in that game. They can't even get through their overs with a spinner. One or two of those guys could fall over. It's meant to be hot in Adelaide coming up. Mate, they could be...
I don't know how you don't play a spinner in Melbourne and Sydney. Now Sydney's not the traditional thing.
Can Leach come back into the series if you drop him?
Mate, but I don't know. And then Best did take 4 for in the A game. In the second innings...
Bring him in, please.
In the second innings, he took 2 for 150 off 35. Yeah. So he's going at 4.5 there in the A game. But, like, I mean, if anyone in Australia has watched... Best bowl. He's taken heaps of wickets. He took buckloads of wickets in Sri Lanka and he literally could not land the thing and he was taking wickets. I mean, that's really harsh. But like at test level, he was going for so many runs. He was bowling like 2 full tosses and over. It was grim shit. So he can't play. And now as well, if you play your 5 seamers for the rest of the next 4 tests, there's 5 tests in 6 weeks of the guys who are not conditioned. It's hot. They could well be down 3-0 by the time we get to fucking Sydney. I mean, it's diabolical what's going on.
Mate,
but they fucked Leach, and it's their own fault.
They're already being held together by a sticky tape.
Yeah.
Adelaide already feels like a must-win match for England.
It is. They have to win 3 games.
This time last year in a 4-test series, we just rolled India for 36.
Yeah.
They managed to make their way back. Different team.
Different
England,
team.
England, really, a different team.
A lot of the Indian players would get into this England side.
A lot of them would.
You've got to factor that in.
Yeah, a lot of them would. Yeah, I mean, ideally, you'd just be able to say to Jack Leach, we're going to back you. We're going to set some more defensive fields because we really, really, really need you to be able to bowl.
To get through the over so we get paid.
Exactly. need you so we get paid our match fees.
I'm not here for a haircut. The England team has not come out here for a haircut. Or to fuck spiders.
Mate, it's just everything is shaping towards Parkinson and Scott Borthwick at the SCG.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He goes, Jai Richardson looks like he's in for the Bush Horse. Who's out?
Isn't that interesting? Because, the Bush Horse is flying back home. But Nisa took 5 in the A game.
Yeah.
and I don't think he's going to play. Maybe he will play this summer. I don't know.
Nice is a workhorse, and Jai Richardson's Royal Ascot. They want Jai Richardson longer term. He's the heir apparent.
Jai Richardson is more of a strike bowler, like Stark is, than Nisa, which is a steadier presence.
Nisa's so like hit the deck for. Hazelwood
being out, who is the steadiest presence? He's also a wicket taker himself.
Steady and strike.
Exactly. Yeah,
Hazelwood is so zenith, mate. For me, he's such a fucking weapon. God,
you know we talk about on the show, like guys knew they're going to play for Australia when they were like 12. Oh, this guy fucking knew it from the womb, like embryo shit.
Prodigal.
He is prodigal.
Doesn't make sense, but it does. Yeah.
And he's on it social media. He's side mouth.
Warner might be out. He goes, oh, they're not sure yet. They're trying. He's in cotton wool. I'm not. I don't know if that helps. A broken rib.
I suspect it. It's like when Beckham broke his toe before a World Cup and put him in like a some chamber.
Some sort of tent.
Yes.
A tent with oxygen.
If
Warner's out, they brought Bryce Street into the squad, he goes.
Yeah, for batting coach. Isn't Khawaja in the squad?
Yeah, Bryce Street hit a ton in the second innings of this game.
Khawaja got like 5 and 11, I think, in the A game.
See you later. Everything you've done no longer matters.
Yeah, Maddison is captain of that team. He got a globe in the first dig and then 75 in the second dig. Bryce Street got 100, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And then Sean Marsh hit like 60 off 20 balls or something.
Oh, well, there's
Sean Marsh isn't playing in the A game.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
They're all looking pretty good for Australia heading to Adelaide.
So who you got? If Warner doesn't play, who would you play?
Khawaja, just bring Wizzy in. Let's have him open. And then maybe a bit of pressure on Harry if Khawaja gets runs. Yeah. I just want to also mention, he goes, Hobart gets the fifth test.
Yeah.
So Premier Goodwine says, because ultimately this came down to Premier versus Shane Warne publicly.
That's right.
Warne just again losing it about one thing that didn't go according to his opinion.
I mean, Warne's been retired for 15 years. This was his worst Ashes test match.
Mate, the most egregious chapter in a fucking many volumes.
Can you idolise someone and just want to be everything about them, the memories they gave you as a child?
You can.
Not for me.
Just bury your head in the sand.
Okay.
BetterHelp.com. So, yeah. Premier Goodwine says, but after Hobart gets a test, but I'd say to Warney, mate, you've been bowled a Tassie flipper.
Oh, got him!
Warney's reeling.
Yeah. Fucking zing. See you later.
And he goes on to say something about they get a $27 million return, $4 million match fee to insure it, so on or some shit. Sounds like the margins are good. He goes, it's over 5 days. Can only not only have the nation's eyes on us, but the world's eyes on just how good a stadium this is. But importantly, just how good this state is overall. And I'm thinking, you know what, Premier, good for you. You're in sales. You got to sell the state. That's it. That's his job. You got to build confidence in the product. Patreon.com/greatcricketer and all that. But how how often do you watch the cricket and go, you know what, hell of a state. Got to visit. Must visit. I mean, I suppose I had that for Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad. Got to get to Ahmedabad at pace.
Yeah.
You know, do you watch that and go, hell of a state? Maybe you do. Maybe you do.
I've only been to Tasmania once, so.
I do want to play on Premier, I say. Ponting was overjoyed and Brett Lee said it might snow. There's a kind of spectrum of commentary. You know, it's a good thing. The other good thing about this, he goes,
what
is
did you mean when he said that? Snow. Okay.
Oh, it could mean a couple of things.
A white Christmas, I see.
The good thing, he goes, is that, you know, they keep talking about drop-in pitches. I propose we don't call them drop-in pitches anymore. I propose we call them AFL pitches, really.
Okay.
Because that's why they are the way they are. You know, we do away, and Hobart isn't. It's not a drop-in.
No.
It's not an AFL pitch.
Yeah. Because Sydney's not a drop-in, but it's an AFL pitch.
They're talking about it. AFL's coming.
Because the MCG sorted itself out last couple of years.
Sydney's been shit.
Sydney is the worst pitch in Australia.
Yep. Oh, my, can't believe it.
Yeah. I won't be allowed home for Christmas.
Mate, Mo Matthews rolling in his bed. You know, I love these drop-in pitches. We do away with the character and variety of wickets across the country. And I hope that's good because it's cold. It can be a bit grassy. It can also be flat. Mm-hmm. But instead, we do away with the character of these pitches because, you know, so fucking Shane Woden or whatever can keep his footing in September.
Yeah, in the footy season.
September is an important month. Yeah, and he's long retired. But nevertheless.
The point is, mate.
He's training.
Yeah, that's right.
A bit of circuit work.
He's still doing laps, yeah. What's his time trial like? It also gives opportunity, one, for us to see footage of Gilchrist and Langer scoring that partnership against Pakistan all those years ago, 99 maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also gives Tim Payne a final signer to captain and lift up the Ashes.
Oh, I did see you.
That'll be the biggest fuck you to England if Tim Payne is captain for the last game in Hobart and he lifts up the Ashes. And that's the footage we see for the next 4 years.
And Alex Carey, he'll be a real fuck you to him too.
Real fuck you, exactly. Yeah.
Should we check a couple of other voices? He goes,
give me some voices.
For a minute. Here we go. This is what a couple of people said in response to last week's result.
Boys, this series has made me think of a situation back in the day. Back in the day, in the days of high school or primary school, when the bully, the alpha, the bloke who didn't give a fuck. He would get a fly, maybe on the windowsill, and just rip one of the wings off.
Oh, fucking hell.
To leave it squirmishly buzzing around, helpless.
Jesus Christ.
Being laughed at.
Silence of the Lambs.
Bullied. That's what England is.
Oh.
Interesting. Squirming.
Holy fuck.
Still going.
Helpless.
Jesus Christ.
6-0, fuck off.
This is England.
Oh, fuck off, you Aussie bastards. All we've heard, the Poms are coming over. 5-0. We know it's going to be 5-0. Grow up.
I actually kind of want, I kind of want England to win the next game just for the visceral minutes. They could be sent, and my DMs generally just fucking incredible.
Absolutely.
I don't know, mate. To be fair, like this series is looking like it's going to be one-sided, but you know, very few series in cricket make you feel something, and you know what? The Ashes does. It's only every 2 years.
Isn't that nice?
Once every, mate, what sport? It has to make you feel something.
What is sport?
Yeah. And what's love got to do with it?
Well, if you do love your partner or friend or whatever, consider Budgie Smuggler for a Christmas present.
Yeah.
There's gifts for blokes, consider gifts it. For her, gifts for people you don't know or non-gender specific, quality, made in Australia. There's comfort. There's a reason all the professional cricketers wear budgies. Not sure if I've seen any on TV, but I think that might be because the whites of the cricketers' whites are a little bit more, less opaque and translucent.
Yeah, not as transparent.
But never, you know, rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, they're wearing them, okay? And they probably have those accessories as well.
Rest easy knowing
any
that.
Any print that you want, you can customise your print. Underwear, $30, Australia-made, organic cotton quality. You heard from Lindy last week.
Yeah.
We're just talking apparel.
Was that last week?
Maybe before, I don't know.
Yeah,
some shit.
But I was going to say, a lot of nice feedback from that.
That chat.
Yeah. It was good.
New Surf, $50, selling fast. Everything actually is selling out. Pushing shit up a hill trying to get some stuff for Christmas, but have a go. Gifts for her, swimwear. If not ready for swimwear, then they've got booty shorts, I'm told. I don't know what they are, but they're booty shorts. They're a very good option. Towels, like bucket hats, socks, all at budgiesmuggler.com. Use the code CHAMP at checkout and something will happen. Let that be a surprise for you. I'm going to say free shipping.
Yeah.
I'm going to say free shipping. 20% off. Using the code CHAMP. This interview we're going to have with Trent Copeland is brought to you by T20 Stars. Use the code TGC10 to get 10% off bats, balls, gloves, and pads ahead of Christmas.
A great time to think about, like, when we're getting your first bat.
Oh, hell yeah.
First bit of kit.
I actually remember when my eyes clapped on it. Like, I remember where I was and when I saw it. A bit disappointed, to be honest. I wanted the V100, but it was a V Panther.
I think one of the best things about cricket is kit.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, the list goes on forever.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say friendship.
Which we have mined for years about the negatives of cricket. Hmm? Quite successfully, if I'm honest. But the...
Fuck, I've not opened the side of my mouth all morning.
But, mate, kit is one of the best things about cricket. Same as golf. You know, like, having nice kit is good. It makes you feel good. But, like, yeah, first bat. I just think about Christmas, you know, unwrapping, like, when I was a kid. And by that I mean 25, mm-hmm. like just getting like your first pair of gloves, your first stick, even like a brand new a ball for Christmas, mate. That's the gear,
and
that's good gear.
And the kit, let's face it, he goes, kit arouses the senses.
Are people saying that it's not?
Most people, when they think about kit, they think about the feel, the pickup of the bat. It is important, but let me take it an extra mile.
Go on then.
The smell.
And the smell is big.
The olfactory senses. When I picked up that T20 Stars bat. Now, Shane Watson was kind enough to gift each of us a bat.
Yes.
And I got to say, as soon as he left, and you were in another room, maybe going to the bathroom or something in the bathroom for you, I didn't pick up that bat and start tapping it as you'd expect. The first thing I did was smelt it. And I got to say.
You smelt it.
Oh, yeah. The smell of the wood. And the rubber of the grip.
Can take you back to a place. Mate, I'm doing the same thing. Like the smell of a grip on opening a bat on Christmas Day. I remember getting a bat once on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
As a kid.
What bat?
It was a...
Don't say the brand name, actually. It was a T20 Stars bat.
That's right. The sort of foundation years.
Yeah.
Sort of 25 years
I've replaced
ago.
That bat with a T20 Stars sticker.
That's right, I have. Yeah. I had to rebrand it,
obviously. Of course, yeah. Contractually.
But, mate, It's nice, yeah. But it's also part of the cultural thing about cricket in Australia.
And the thing you got to know about this kit that we're saying you must smell is that Watto's hands have been all over that bad boy.
These hands have been all over.
Mate, Watto has been involved
yes.
in the creation of every piece of equipment.
But this bit actually is true. We're not taking the piss anymore. That bit's actually true.
I'm not sure if he's seen every single, he's touched every bat.
Yeah.
But I did say before, in many ways he has. Like you do feel like if you're connecting with Shane Watson, and not in the connection of Andre Russell hitting him over the roof in that training game with the Thunder. But it's very good kit. Watto involved from the very start. He's super entrepreneurial. He's done a great job with this. T20 Stars is everywhere. You can get that kit for Christmas. Use the code TGC10 for 10% off.
TGC10.
Bats, balls, gloves, and pads. Here he is. It's Trent Copeland. We're very lucky to be joined by cricket commentator, player, let's call him a cricket polymath extraordinaire, and father, new father, and then also going to be a father of two quite shortly as well. So he's juggling a fair bit at the moment. It's Trent Copeland. Copes, welcome back to the Great Cricketer.
Yeah, one thing you left out was Nuffy. Yeah, cricket Nuffy is how I'm best described. But no, great to be back, lads. You guys are killing it.
Okay, thank you. Contractually obliged to say that. So, Copes, look, a lot of guys in England who are receiving an alternate feed to the one that you're on won't be aware that that you provide some pretty sterling analysis, some well-researched analysis, some sober analysis of the cricket for Channel 7. You're a current player, current first-class player. You've played Test cricket. You've played with these Aussie boys and Mitch Stark. So the key question is, did that first ball swing?
No, mate, it can't have. It can't have swung. I see Warnie all the time, and it's funny when Starkey references this stuff. Oh, it must be December 1, is it? I'm copying it from all angles. But I'll tell you one thing, it's definitely not how he dialed it up, but he will take it. And the Gabba almost lifted off.
I was very surprised that Mitch Stark bowled the first ball cross seam. I don't know why he did that. He usually goes same up, but you know how he would.
Yeah, and his wrist is just so bad, mate. Like, unfortunately.
Yeah. Copes, we're just sort of having a chat before about like where England go from here. But you know, have Australia played this game extremely well? They've just been itching to get back out on the park. I mean, should we be celebrating Australia more for how they played in their first test? Because it does feel a little bit like England aren't great.
Well, I don't know about you lads, but when you think about an Ashes series and you think, wow, England are coming out, you think 300 test matches combined, over 1,100 wickets for two of the best fast bowlers in history, I reckon you might pick one of them. And, you know, when you leave one out, you're like, wow. You leave both out and you're like, shit. Are they really doing this for, you know what, if it's targeting Adelaide, fair play, but you lose the first test and Adelaide becomes a pressure cooker, because if they come in and don't deliver, then you're absolutely cooked. So, yes, there is an element of the Aussies played beautifully, but shit, leaving Broad and Anderson out. I mean, that is a bold strategy, Cotton.
And as a quick bowler yourself and doing analysis, like, can you – I think a lot of people who'd be watching the cricket wouldn't – like, they'll just presume that in sport and high-level sport, you pick your best team for the game that's in front of you. But it has become a squad game now. It's hard for bowlers to get themselves up and to be at 100% all the time. It takes a little bit of nous to get yourself through. We saw the way, you know, they didn't bowl Hoff on day three. Turns out he was injured or whatever. There's little decisions you've got to make to keep people as fresh as possible. You know, are you a fan of the rotation idea, or are you sort of, can you be too cute by half? And have England done this time?
Oh, see, this is where I can answer this in two ways. Me personally, I hate it. I think any time the word rotation is mentioned when it comes to our country and the baggy green cap that we, you know, are so lucky to have been presented with, choosing to then not pick our best team for a certain game when it comes to the sanctity of that baggy green and our country, but even at lower levels in first-class cricket and things like that, doesn't sit great with me. But is it the best thing potentially in the long run? I guess the Gabba last year against India is the question. You know, the boys look like they were maybe hanging on a little bit in test, you know, the last test of the summer on the last day, trying to bring home the victory. And look, people way above my pay grade are employed to be making those decisions. I just don't agree with them, and I will continue to not agree with them. But look, we're going to see a new one for this next test, aren't we? Joshy's out, and what would you boys do, Nessa or Richardson?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, they want Jai, don't they? I was actually going to ask you this, like, because they want Jai in, but Nessa has been like next cab for a long time, and then but now he's been jumped by another next cab. So I don't know. I was going to ask you, like, if Nessa doesn't play this game, like, of the guys that he could replace, he probably is the most like Hazelwood, probably. So if he doesn't play this game, like, does he play ever?
He would definitely be sitting at home thinking, like, and he just took 5 for the Australia A team as well against the England Lions. So, I mean, if he doesn't play this game, the temptation is obviously so great to play Jai, given, you know, 145 swings it both ways, and there's so much upside there.
Yeah, it feels good.
And particularly when you throw in, you know, as you guys talk about so much, you know, imagine the weight that carries in, you know, bravado around the sheds. You know, come on, Ness, mate. I bowl 140s and swing it both ways. Like, you are no chance. That's the way it goes at grade cricket level. That's the way it should go at test level. So I think everyone will be leaning towards Jai playing. But, geez, Ness has been doing the business for so long. And as you say, like, in terms of what Hazelwood brings to the table, Ness is right there, and he also is able to strengthen the batting as well. Not that we needed it after the last test, but Ness could easily slot in at 7 or 8.
I'd probably play Richardson and hope that Ness gets a game in Melbourne or Sydney on the shit wickets that you need some donkey work. You know what I mean?
Well, you remember Birdie.
I was about
Birdie
to say Jackson Bird. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I felt sorry for him, man. Yeah, like, you get on a docile one in the wrong scenario, the biggest game of the summer, by way of eyes on it. And it can just do you in.
Exactly. Cope, speaking of grade cricket before, so you play at St. George Cricket Club, obviously a great lineage of players all the way through its history, but in the last couple of years it's actually been home to, you know, yourself, Ollie Robinson and Josh Hazelwood all at the same time. Hoping for an insight into playing with Ollie Robinson in particular, confirmation that you would have taken the new pill and he comes in first change. And can you just run us through the alpha hierarchy of that situation?
Yeah, well, and the other layer to that is that I was captain, so he was no chance of bowling.
Well, maybe you started him in twos.
Yeah.
He was lucky to get a game. To be completely honest, he was just at the start of, in 2017-18, he was just at the start of this sort of domination of county cricket for Sussex, sort of finding his way from the early Yorkshire days to moving across to Sussex under Dizzy Gillespie. And he came out here with a side strain, but there was definitely, I mean, you know, think of the English cricketers that come out here to play club cricket. It's not all about the cricket. It's about the lifestyle, the circuiting, you know, spending good quality time with your mates, doing really good human being things. So he was...
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. As you guys have done plenty of times in your life. He had a bit of a side strain when he first got here, so we didn't see the best of him, and his numbers didn't look great. And no doubt everyone... for St. George, when he went back over and started dominating, then played test cricket, were like, who is this bloke? Is there any danger of doing this for the Dragons? But he was a great man, and his skill set, like wrist-wise, is just elite. And sometimes, you know, putting the jokes aside for a second, sometimes you just see it in guys, the wrist. Nathan Lyon is one with spinners where you see it come out of his fingers and they're, I don't even know how to describe it, but they just have something there. He was definitely that. So I'm not surprised he's got here, but geez, it's a tough slog when you don't bowl 140-plus in test cricket. Just to get into test cricket, to stay there, and to also then be successful. So bloody good on him. And I'll tell you what, he was a standout alongside Mark Wood last week for England. His skill set really was perfect for the Gabba, and I think could even go up a gear in Adelaide.
That's another one of your St. George teammates, Copes, and New South Wales teammates, but mainly St. George. Curtis Patterson, I know he's scored some runs recently for the Scorchies, and you know, he was in the Australia A Tour in 2019, went over there, and then he He got the game against Sri Lanka and he got 100 on debut, and then he got injured and he missed most part of a summer. He seems like quite a fair way back for a guy who was, you know, right in the mix, but he's not in the A game now and he's hasn't scored lots of runs in Shield cricket. I mean, like, where is he? Where is Curtis? What's happened?
He's in Perth.
I've got his number.
Just text him. Where are you, mate?
Look, at the end of the day, I think it's similar with Moses, to be honest. Mm. You know, Moses was in the frame to be playing and, you know, named on that tour to go away in the last test tour prior to this one. They don't go on that, then you have a disappointing T20 tour to the West Indies, and all of a sudden it's out of the World Cup squad, not playing a huge role in IPL, and then you come back and it's just a completely different environment / how you're viewed. And it was the same with KP. Missed that Ashes tour away, comes back, didn't have his best year. He'll be the first to admit that for New South Wales last year. And it's only really the last Shield game before the break and then this Scorchers game you referenced where he got a few runs that he started to look back to his best. So hopefully it's the start of things for KP. He's still young enough to be playing plenty of test cricket. So, yeah, the big lanky man from St. George, he'll certainly still be there or thereabouts if he can keep churning him out.
Mm.
Cobes, as we know, everything does come back to grade cricket. You were in the studio when the broadcast went down. And so we got the frog box.
Oh my God.
We got the frog box vision of test cricket, and it turns out it's pretty much just grade cricket. It's just all about how you present it. Can you just take us into the bowels of Channel 7, figuratively speaking, with what happened when the broadcast went down? Are we talking alarms, red lights? You know, what are we looking at?
It was like chaos like I've never seen. You know, and it was, except for the people that matter, like, you know, executive producer Chris Jones and numerous others, so calm in that moment. And, you know, a lot of people don't really understand the mechanics of us not being the host broadcaster as well. So, you know, Fox, and they run the world feed, and then we take that feed and then run our cameras on top of that, our graphics, and our commentary team. So when Fox went down, we were still on air for quite some time. And then it went to just our cameras, and then it went off altogether. And so I'm standing at the big screen and I have packages that we had just prepared, ready to go. So like worst case scenario, we can come back to the studio, do some stuff with us. But then Fox were using the feed of what we were running to air. So then I was going to be running on that feed. So all you listening in England would have actually had to look at my mug talking smack about cricket for a little while. So there was just any number of you know, backup plans. Then we went offline altogether. And I reckon we were probably about 30 seconds away from a Zoom live stream from the venue, from a tablet device. So
I thought you were going to say you were going to go to an Elvis midday movie or something like that.
No. So, well, but isn't it funny? Like you mentioned the front box vision. We came back on air and Starkey was bowling and it was vision from behind.
Mm.
And he looked like he was bowling in a great game. Like he looked slow. Mm. He looked like, he, you know, it really goes to show that all of us grade cricketers and Nuffies in Shield, we're much better than what we look.
Exactly.
It's a little bit harsh on Starkey, I reckon, there, Coach.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
You've really trumped Warnie there. Hey, everyone's up. What's Starkey done? Stark actually quite slow,
yeah,
says Copeland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wait till the next net session, I will not come out with a head.
None in your half, yeah. Hey, obviously, the GOAT, Nathan Lyon, gets his 400th, and we saw lots of vision where he got his first test scalp in Sri Lanka 10 years ago. Mm. That was also Cope's first game. You also had a pretty good debut as well. Mm. My main takeaway from that is you did, like, DRS was relatively new and you just had an absolutely plum LBW there off, who were you bowling to?
I don't even remember his name.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie. Yeah. But you know what I do remember was Aleem Dar, after it came up, they reviewed it and we saw the footage. I walked past Aleem Dar. He said, told you, wasn't out.
Hey, that reminds me. We went and had a beer with Paul Wilson about 4 years ago after a day's play, and I think he was the fourth umpire.
Yeah.
We were allowed to say this, yeah, and he and I was like, mate, how good does it feel when players review and your original decision was correct? You know, how do you feel? And he just said, yeah, you just want to stick your finger up at him. You know, he mightn't have said that. I think he demonstrated it. He's like, you know, like there's umpires can alpha too.
And
so they should, to be honest. But, hey, I'm really glad you mentioned that. Like, Gaz has now played 100 tests. I played 3. Gaz has taken 400 wickets. I got dropped real soon after that series.
Oh, you're still waiting to be rotated, aren't you? Yeah. You're saying that's why I don't like it.
They told me I was coming back, but I just they didn't ring me, unfortunately.
You got to get the 140s club, Copes. I mean, I reckon your fastest years are ahead of you, Copes, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. My back might say otherwise, but yeah.
Trent Copeland, mate, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure you're off to Adelaide soon. I know you've got your little baby asleep about to wake up. These are crucial times for you and another one along the way. Congratulations on that. Might catch you in Adelaide, otherwise somewhere around the traps this summer.
Thanks, boys. Those new logos look amazing. You boys are big dogs. Thanks for having me on.
Woof, woof. Oh, you cunt.
You cunt. Oh, it's an Ashes summer. Oh, you cunt. You cunt. Yes! They were nervous. We were calm. We were calm. They were nervous. They were nervous. Oh, you cunt. Sprayed peg, stepmum's legs. Yes! Ashes summer. Ashes summer. Sprayed peg, stepmum's legs. Cunt. They were stepmum. We were stuck in the laundry. Sprayed stepmum's. Cunt. Yes! You've seen it all before. Stepmum stuck in the laundry. Nervous. We were. Falling straight, baby. Yes. We were calm. We were calm. They were stepmum. We were calm. Ashes summer. I'm alive, baby.
Ah, thank you very much to dear friend Trent Copeland. How many times has Coates been on the show? It's done a live show with us.
Once or twice. Yeah, maybe twice and a couple live show.
Just one live show? Yeah. He's lovely.
Bit of Channel 7 stuff with us as well.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe. That's right. That's right. And I will be the arbiter of who is and isn't a nice guy. The sting you just heard there is from our new audio producer. Well, he's not an audio. He's just doing some stings for us. Gus Cannon, who contacted us via Patreon. He's doing great work. I hope you guys are enjoying that. He's done a couple for us now. That wasn't me who made that. It was Gus.
He sent in the Bush Horse one.
Yeah, he did the Stoinis one, I think.
The Stoinis one.
Yeah, some really good gear. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. If you want to find these individual tracks, I'll put them up on Patreon at some point, but those individual tracks for these little stings, we get this from time to time, people wanting the set as their fucking ringtone or some shit. Yeah. Does anyone actually have a ringtone anymore, or does it just vibrate for days? Yeah. My phone lives on silent. Anytime I hear a phone ring, I'm incensed.
Sorry. Yeah, of course. Sorry.
You saying something?
Yeah, sorry. I just got a message.
You look at Darwin Milan's NFT?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mate, Milan's doing his NFT stuff. That looks an absolutely unbelievable deal.
Milan's just done a tweet. He's selling NFTs. Buy my NFT.
Exactly, mate. Buy low, sell high.
I don't know what the fuck any of this means. Of course.
Any NFT partners out there, let us know. We'll say whatever. Seems like there's some money.
Everyone's got a price. Yeah, so with the Ashes, obviously you can find our dailies on YouTube, but if you just listen to TGC, you don't watch our shit, if you want to see our stupid faces, you get the audio of all of it. At the end of day's play, we do these daily like 20-minute sort of wrap-ups of the day, try and make people laugh, I guess. Patreon.com/GreatCricket, it just drops into your podcast feed, you put a code in, it goes straight into your feed, and you get it every day, that's how it works. Also, every Friday, you get hashtag Ask TGC Fridays. We've got 3 good questions coming up today, Pez, I don't know if we'll get through them all, but I'm enjoying them this week, and this week only.
I'm going to be in Adelaide for day one and day two with my old man.
Yeah,
I'm going with my father.
You planned this a while ago, but before COVID.
It's a father-son trip. It's a father-son trip.
That's nice.
Hopefully we can beat isolation, all that sort of stuff. You've got to do some...
I thought you were going to say ISIS. Hope we can beat ISIS. What's going on in Adelaide?
Of course, mate.
Always. Always got to fly the flag for the West.
Yeah, I've got to, oh, man. You and your team. Hopefully we can beat ISIS. It's a little... It's a little cosplay thing we do, you know. Like we dress up like
the, ISIS at home.
Like the stormtroopers, they come out. We're actually, I'm actually dressing up like a US forces, you know. Got Peter Garrett playing. What are you guys out here for? Oh, we're beating ISIS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just dad, me and my dad, two guys.
Dad dressed up for, what's the guy's name? Chris from American Sniper.
Anyway, yeah. If there's a members ticket out there, just let us know. Slide into the DMs.
All right. The rest of the show. Hey, the Big Bash has been going on for a couple of weeks. And aren't just people are all over it. Mate, I'm going to give it to you straight up.
Go. No, this is us covering the Big Bash.
That's right.
Right. We've covered it for a couple of years. Here goes. It's been going for 2 weeks. What's been happening?
Zampa bowled a good death over. Mate, it's just, we watch a lot of cricket, and I'm just trying to find when, I'm not speaking for everyone this time.
I
usually do, but in my life.
People like it.
When I get into the Big Bash, it's just a small window between like Christmas and New Year, that window. But mate, obviously for us, like it's our busiest time of the year. So it's, and we're obviously doing, like review shows in the test matches, so I actually get to watch the Big Bash.
I wonder
if people are, how in depth people are observing it yet. Are people interested?
Mate,
I'm genuinely asking that, not just being a
look. I haven't brought the ratings, the TV ratings, compiled the crowd figures and done a comparative analysis.
Sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
Other coaches can do that, but
yeah.
No, it definitely doesn't feel prominent. Look, I also wonder...
It doesn't feel prominent, does it?
But how much of that is a function of the Ashes being in our faces deluxe? Like,
well, see, that's
in
why
other series,
be...
he goes, like if we're playing even India, but like New Zealand, Pakistan, the BBL becomes a bigger pinata through which we can hit. Whereas the Ashes is everywhere and it's like, there's a bit more cricket on if I want that.
Yeah,
I can watch it. But like if Australia's winning, it's the great opiate. You know, and nothing else really seems to matter.
Yeah, so you have your big hit during the day and then you're like, do you want a bit more? Oh, couldn't have another bite.
Mate, I'm stuffed.
I am stuffed.
Absolutely stuffed. but, all communication is going this way. Like my engagement with the Big Bash so far this season has been clips, much like the Sheffield Shield.
Clip-clops.
You know, it's just fucking James Pattinson throwing a ball at somebody.
Yeah. Unless someone does something like, fucking dumb, then
Well, mate, what have I said? Like, Jake Fraser-McGurk took a genuinely good catch.
That was a good catch.
Catches are only good now if they're on SportsCenter in the US.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you're not in SportsCenter, get in the bin as far as catches go.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of, as I said before, Andre Russell hitting Shane Watson onto the roof 4 years ago at Thunder training.
Right.
I enjoyed that for ASMR purposes.
Of course.
And you know that you're starting to get into blobby. I mean, BBL is blobby territory.
So blobby is a tweet we did. Fuck, when was that?
Two, 3 years ago.
Wasn't it last Ashes?
Nah, it wasn't. It was year after. It was.
So Blobby is this Channel character 7. That exists in the UK that we discovered. I mean, obviously people in the UK know who Blobby is, but
of course,
he's just this fucking inflatable man dressed in a suit who just like walks into things, he's
bumping into things,
bumping is going Blobby, Blobby, and he just and
greatest you, character I've seen.
Yeah, I need to refund.
We'll find that clip.
Do it again.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got a couple of clips of Blobby as well, don't we? A
couple of clips.
But the idea, I think it was your tweet, just sensational of Blobby walking in, saying, "Well, this is me walking in." After the test into the Big Bash.
That's what you do.
Blobby is the adult totem of the Big Bash. Are we into Blobby season yet? Like maybe in the next, we'll see in the next week or two. I mean,
for me, not yet.
You know when it's BBL Blobby season when you start seeing clips of guys get
Blobby season
when guys start getting hit in the dick. You know, like there are clips. I've seen a few inside edges into the inside knee.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer.
Mate, that is way worse.
Oh well, yeah.
Being hit in the knee, inside knee. That stings way more.
Mate, as long as a bloke is crumpled on the wicket in pain, I'm fucking happy. I don't care.
It's basically as close as we get
from
to the UFC.
Shoulder, from the shoulders down. Yeah. Someone's crumpled. Good stuff.
Good
get the clips going. Blobby, beers. Yeah. We're all good.
Hey, Matt Wade scored some runs in a game. I've seen a bit of conversation. He got 93 against the Sixers.
He can play.
The SCG. Seen a bit of conversation about... will Matt Wade play in the next year's World Cup? And I'm surprised the team's been picked now. I didn't realise we were going to pick a team now.
I mean, that's dumb shit. Guy won us the World Cup. Yeah. He's a great player.
That was one of the great innings for Australian T20 cricket in the semi-final.
Absolutely. And totally deserved and reflective of his skill.
Yeah.
You know? Let's refresh the side. Fuck off. Yeah. weighty. And the best thing he's ever done for his brand was being he's been accepted into like the Stoinis Zampa bubble. Yeah. And that's quite like it was an unexpected brand shift for him.
Unexpected.
But somehow the ski goggles without their lenses by the end of the circuit.
Yeah.
Sort of worked. It was like, you know, when you're in high school, an unlikely alliance emerges and somehow there's just a fusion that makes you feel happy and a bit horny.
Yeah, it's like when a jock and a nerd somehow are just okay with each other.
Yeah.
They're okay.
Everyone feels happy. The love kind of reigns supreme.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I think that was great for Wade. Wade, Zoinis. Zoinis. Wade and Zoinis.
Mm-hmm.
That's a super group.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking 36. Who gives a shit? He plays good cricket. He's good.
And his greatest thing he ever said was to tell Stoinis that they're nervous and we're calm. I mean, that's...
We're going to have to talk to them about releasing that as a T-shirt and if there's sort of IP around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, Andre Russell was playing for the Stars. He wasn't allowed within 2 meters of his Melbourne Stars teammates. Couldn't touch him, couldn't high five, couldn't be anywhere near him.
Yep. And so
normal stuff, eh?
His teammate Nick Larkin said he first met Andre Russell in the 19th over out in the middle.
That's great cricket.
If someone's
come up for a lower grade, you don't fucking talk to them. It's absolutely necessary.
Can't believe this hasn't been said, but I reckon on at least like 3 to 5 occasions in my grade career, lower grades, I've introduced myself to somebody when they've joined me in the middle or vice versa. You get on, Sam?
Yep.
Just there's big guys
on the
side.
Never done that.
But like if you...
But that
like
idea,
early
definitely.
On, 5th grade, 4th grade, you're still getting to know guys or whatever.
Sure.
Some new guys got to the side. You're like, yeah, I'm Sam. So like you're actually forced to speak to somebody that you haven't before. They're just a guy on the side.
Hey, you can't reveal anything. Oh, you want to introduce yourself to me?
All of a sudden in an alpha hierarchy, little alpha ecosystem before a ball's being bowled.
Hey,
it's not easy.
How crippled are we as men that we can't even say hello to another person who you're playing on the same team, trying to achieve the same objective, the same goal? Fuck this bloke.
As Steve Bedolf says in his book Manhood, first sentence, men are hurting.
Let me think about that all day. Anything else in the Big Bash?
Hey, mate,
it's almost trite to like
Sixers are top.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Talk about like results because people listen to this like different stages of the week and shit. So by the time we talk about this and other things happened and
well, they definitely tuned into TGC to go like, oh, how's the BBL letter going? Well, the Heat aren't off the mark.
Aren't they?
Everyone else is off the mark. Heat aren't off the mark.
Mm.
Yeah. Bash Brothers stuff.
Who's the coach?
Well, Lehman's assistant coach.
Yeah. It's Seckham. Wade Seckham.
Oh, of course.
Who is also doing Queensland Wadey. Now, isn't he?
I don't know. Yeah, they promoted him because they felt that he was the best chance of being the coach for Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, well, in terms of promotion and relegation.
Like it.
Virat Kohli is no longer the ODI captain.
Set this up, he goes, because this isn't straightforward.
It's not straightforward, mate. So, as we know...
This is snakes and ladders shit here in Indian cricket.
Oh, yeah.
Depending tensions on what you rising. Read, you go to some of the more official publications as I did to get some background on this.
Women's Weekly.
Women's Day.
Inside Edge.
Yeah, Pacific Magazine stuff. Inside Edge magazine.
Yeah, from the 90s.
I went to a few official publications of this. I know you'll set this up, but wasn't seeing a lot of articles. I just saw some straight reporting. You know, the new men's skipper is Rohit Sharma, is there any analysis? Because I was hearing there was a little bit of snakes and ladders about this.
Well, yeah, and even the BCCI didn't even mention Kohli in their tweets. They just said the new captain is this. No
Mr.
mention.
Mr.
Rohit Sharma. Respectful.
Of course.
Anyway, okay, so what happened is... Okay,
set it up.
So we know that Kohli was going to step down as a T20I captain.
He announced that at the same time that...
Shastri was going to step aside at the end of his reign, which is the end of the T20 World Cup. He also, Kohli, also stepping aside as RCB captain because he wanted to focus more on his batting the last couple of years. And so...
He also said, he goes, that he would like to, that said, retain the ODI captaincy heading into the World Cup in India in 2023.
That's right. Because you know what? He's a legacy guy. And
he's Kohli.
That would be some legacy shit.
And what Kohli want, Kohli get. We thought.
And anyway, so they've just announced the team to go, because they're playing ODIs in South Africa. As we know, the first test is in, I want to say, Joburg on Boxing Day.
ODIs and tests,
3 of each. And they fucked off the T20s. Anyway, so then they've announced a squad for that. Little C, parentheses next to the name, Mr. Rohit Sharma.
Did you see the way they announced it as well? So... It was on Wednesday, December 8th, and where is it here? We've got it was an email, and the email said something like test and ODI squad announced, and then it just goes through to say here's the side X Y Z blah blah blah. Last line, captaincy change for the ODIs, Mr. Rohit Sharma. Doesn't mention Virat Kohli's
just a
name.
Footnote.
Yep. And then yeah, little bit of back and forth. Mate, so Ganguly's come out and said
yes.
Once Kohli stepped down from the T20I captaincy, they didn't want two white ball captains and I quote, "it's too much of leadership." now,
what does that mean?
He just doesn't want. So Kohli would have then been white ball ODI Red Ball. Yeah,
but what does that quote mean?
It's too much of leadership. He doesn't want two different white ball captains.
Too many chefs.
But I mean the way and so 60 captains worldwide to have led 50 plus ODIs, Equinox stuff. Only three have a better win loss record than Kohli. So they've made the decision because this is a, you know, he may have all these wins, but he doesn't have the right kind of wins.
No, he doesn't.
And we've also
what's he won for me lately?
We've established some power rankings here. Now maybe our Indian viewers already knew this.
Do we have any?
Ganguly is Alfred Kohli. The BCCI, Jay Shah of Alfred Kohli.
Yeah.
The father has Alfred the son.
That's right.
Okay.
Dada.
Kohli reportedly learnt via social media. I mean, that's to Kohli.
No, but that's
Death Star stuff.
So that's I believe that is true. That's been reported in numerous sources, numerous different places. That he found out via Twitter, no communication. I find that very hard to believe. That like there was no text message, there was no fax smile, there was no beeper to his pager. Just couldn't flick him an email, shoot him a DM. Hey mate, just letting you know, Mr. Rohit Sharma is going to take over. I find that don't you think that's silly? They're just going to tweet it out, no communication. If that's true, that is fucked.
It has genuinely. Reading between the lines, I think Ganguly confirmed that he had communicated it to Kohli, but clearly, well, this is my leap, but others were reporting too.
But it's clear. Clear as day.
That Kohli is none too happy with the decision.
Yes.
tweet from Cricket Walla. He says, hold no brief of Virat Kohli's ODI captain. Rohit Sharma credentials excellent with Kohli giving up T20 captaincy. Logical to split the red and white ball responsibilities. Lamentable that it's the BCCI's lack of respect for the player who has contributed enormously. What message is being sent out? The message being sent out is that BCCI is alpha. I mean, that's it.
No one's bigger than the game.
Yeah, Rohit game Sharma. You think Rohit Sharma is the heir apparent to Virat Kohli?
Mm-hmm.
Sharma's 34, Kohli's 33.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this Joe Biden stuff? A bit of Sleepy Joe stuff? They're getting quite old, you know?
Yeah.
How long can he captain for, Rohit, before his eyes go? The eyes start to go.
Yeah, Rohit's got to walk out with a minder to the toss. They got to hold his hand and throw his hands up so the coin flips.
Maybe call it Sleepy Joe stuff. Is this Sleepy Joe stuff?
Sleepy Joe Sharma. So they call him Sleepy Joe Sharma. I don't know, Matt, but it's
I just think of Alpha Power Rankings with this. It's very interesting from the outside, you know.
I got to tell you, man.
BCCI, Death Star, Darth Vader, Jay Shah.
Obviously, we're in Melbourne. We're not in, you know, Mumbai or whatever. But like, if this happens, if CA did this to Finch.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. I'd be like, well, that's a bit on the nose. It doesn't sound great. So like,
Kohli's obviously opposed it. And clearly.
Clearly. Pack okay, em. Well, we're going to fucking tell you.
Pack him, V-Rat. They gave it the old sock call, you know, when sock got him. Pack him, V-Rat.
Pack him, V-Rat, yeah.
And can I have some of those shoes that I asked you for?
V-Rat, yeah. V-Rat. Just functionally.
Functionally, like, always. Functional training.
It does make sense to split the captaincies, like red and white ball, given the white ball programs are often played jointly. As in tours and that kind of thing.
Agree.
And as Kohli,
can he just go like, man, I don't want that.
I've
got to
tell you, man. Sure, Kohli has won, third best record for captain who's captained enough games,
Here we go.
He hasn't won the thing, though, has he?
What have you done for me lately,
V-Rat? He hasn't won the thing.
Yeah. Right kind of wins.
Lost in 2019 against the Kiwis in the semi-final.
Right kind of wins.
He's captained like 4 or 5 years, hasn't he? The white ball setup. It's not as long as what you might think, because Dhoni was obviously doing it for 3 decades beforehand. But mate, is Kohli such a good captain that it's like just I'm not sure.
Open ended question. Yeah. You're guiding people though. Because, you know, like what about what Rahane did with the test match? I mean, is there a broader question about the efficacy, and that is the word I'll use, of Kohli's leadership generally? I mean, do you just want Kohli to be a stick who's angry in the field?
I wonder if it would just help his batting, you know, because his batting has been a slight decline. Damn.
Which is a compliment to his batting.
It is. But, you know, knocked bundled out of the T20i World Cup. RCB never won the IPL when he's been captain the entire time, or, for, you know, for his legacy, you know, ODI World Cups. I mean, I don't know. India got such a great team. They should be winning more. A change of captain. Fundamentally, what I'm asking is he such a good captain that it's just fucking out of the equation that he could be replaced? And I don't think off the top of my head that is true.
He's been removed from the captaincy and he's found out at training with the names up on the board. Frankly.
I tell you what, that would have been an angry net.
Oh, yeah.
And an angry wank.
Absolutely.
I'm furious about this.
It's Sleepy Joe stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Sleepy Joe.
I think India needs... like generational change around that. I think they got to go.
It's interesting. Like Rishabh was a guy who's going to play for a long time, and he was given the Delhi captaincy by RT Ponting.
Exactly. And from Shreyas Iyer. Who's also come in as well.
Shreyas Iyer might have done a better job. I don't know. Rishabh might be a great captain, but not just you.
I wasn't sure about the bowling change.
Made a few mistakes. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Well, it'll be very interesting to find out what happens to that that three-match bilateral series in South Africa for ODIs.
We'll be covering it.
We're doing the tests.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know that stuff existed.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, before we get into hashtag AskTGC, to wrap up the show, we've got to speak about Manscaped, Pez. Now, Pez, I got a DM. So use the code TGC for 20% off at manscaped.com. That's the gist. That's what you want to know. You know, tis the season down under anyway. You know, you got to be presentable. You know, heading outside, you're meeting people. I got a message from a guy. I think the app that he's talking on is Tinder. And he's talking, I forget the guy's name who sent this in. He's talking to a female suitor. And he sent her a message saying, got a weed eater. I think they're talking about like actually trimming grass, some landscaping thing. And she said, haha, yeah, I do, but prefer to do them manually, you know, gives a better finish. And then he's replied, the edge cutter wheel thing or like actually manual with a chef knife. And she's hearted that message. And then she's replied, the wheel thing, haha, I ain't crazy. And then he's replied, some people are particular with their lawn care and that's why you should get the lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped. So for some reason, we're bringing people together on dating apps talking about Manscaped, even though she doesn't know what the fuck that is. She's talking about actually manicuring a garden.
And don't forget, you also get the accoutrements.
Oh, you get all the trappings.
All the trappings. What do you get with your roast? You get your little, I've completely forgotten what.
Well, like stuffing.
You get your stuffing, yeah. You get your little crackling there.
Yeah, a little crackling?
Yeah, a little crackling's what I'm thinking of. By crackling, I mean the crop preserver. Ball deodorant and crop reviver.
I tell you
ball
what,
toner.
Mate. You know, we talk about treats for the eyes and treats for the ears.
When you get that.
Mate, when you get this package from Manscaped, it is a treat for the eyes. Indeed. It looks good. It's presented nicely. You get lots of accoutrements.
Exactly. And with that performance package, like you get your crop reviver, you're like, well, this is akin to pork crackling.
Yeah, this reminds me of pork crackling.
You get some boxes as well. You get a travel bag. I actually use that travel bag.
Travel bag's good.
Read into that what you will. Boxes less so. Not my go, boxes.
I'm not a boxers, man.
Yeah, not a boxers. Briefs for me.
Yep, same.
Wait, is briefs underwear? Or do you have a little bit of material coming down the leg there with a brief?
No, I've got briefs. Brief is like the underwear, sort of square underwear. Shape. Yeah, like
square shape.
The,
no,
like as in like the bit of leg work.
Not me. Y fronts.
Are you going for a Y front?
I'm a Y front, yeah.
Are you? Just a traditional Y front?
Just a big leg for me.
You don't fuck around anything else?
Oh, man, I got big pins. Just my pins are naturally.
Really thought you were going to say big penis. Really did.
I wasn't going to say that.
I was swimming in the pool.
mate, there's... there's other picks for Manscaped as well. I haven't even mentioned this before. There's Signature Cologne. There's a Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit. Crop Mops. Ball wipes for your stanky balls. Crop Reviver Ball Toner and Refresher. Fits in a stocking. Enough to change a man's life. They're all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free. So you know their products are legit. Make sure you hurry to their site, Wild Gifts. 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with the code TGC.
Next.
The next thing he goes, and this is much more in the realm of heart and earnestness.
Good.
We're supporting National Backyard Cricket Day.
Nice.
I think. The official date is Sunday, the 6th of February, 2022. And we're asking people to host a backyard cricket game. It's done by the LBW Trust.
Yep.
Every dollar that's raised for it is helping fund the LBW Trust education initiatives in country libraries around Australia and the world in cricket playing nations to level the playing field in education. They ran this last year. They did some stuff at the Prime Minister's house.
That's right.
Ryan Carter's is involved massively. There's tertiary education projects that it supports around India and Sri Lanka as well. We're going to be talking about this more and more as the weeks carry on. We'll be registering our own game. Head to nationalbackyardcricket.com, register your own game. They had 125 games of backyard cricket played last year. You raised some money. They raised more than 125 grand last year. Langer was behind it, Alex Blackwell, Ryan Carter, Russell Arnold, Elisa Healy, Ed Cowan and Michael Holding all behind it. We're getting behind it this year as well. We're going to do some stuff in the lead up to it. Not providing a whole bunch of information here, but other than to say that we are behind it, take a look at it. And I think the whole thing with this is quite earnest, and they want you to play like a proper backyard cricket match. When we do it, it's obviously going to be hostile and aggressive
course.
Full of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
But it's toxic masculinity for a good cause. That's nationalbackyardcricket.com. You know, you want to channel your business and your problems. You know, it's making lemonade from lemons. Simple stuff. Yeah. And, you know.
Sometimes you've got to say, fuck the lemons.
Educational opportunities will abound for the disadvantaged, okay? So trying to harness some of their weaknesses for good. Nationalbackyardcricket.com. We're going to talk about it more in the coming weeks.
Sorry, I butchered the quote. The quote is, fuck the lemons and bail from Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Paul Rudd. I'll never forgive myself.
And then you corrected it.
I'll never forgive myself. Hashtag RTGC, Jack Sheedy. Dear Sam and Ian, I write to you. That's the incorrect order. I don't like. I write to you with a genuine question and not some long-winded story about the one time I had a day out in fourth grade. My wife and I are expecting our first in mid-March. We are very excited and the pregnancy to date has been smooth. The issue I face is names. My wife is Irish, so she will most likely want to name... My wife is Irish, so she will most likely want something unspellable like Kaoimhe, spelt C-A-O-I-M-H-E.
Of course.
I want something classy, such as Lily, Lara, or Courtney.
Lily spelt L-I-L-L-E.
Yeah. She unfortunately has figured out the theme and flat out refuses. I guess the questions are, one, what's a name that we can both be happy with? How do I suggest a name without her googling it, and cricket. Three, how awful a bloke am I for wanting to name our unborn child after a spot she will hate, and rightly so. Four, will this appease the cricket gods enough to get a day out in fourth grade? Cheers, Sheeds.
I like how Sheeds is self-aware enough to understand the problem he's created for his wife with what he needs from a name and unborn child, it should be said. But also remains wedded to the fact that the child's name must be connected to cricket regardless. Yes. Like it doesn't enter thought. He's like, perhaps I should just divorce the idea.
I could call the newborn Jack my own name.
Ian.
I wouldn't go for that personally.
If he wants to get it connected to cricket, but he wants to kind of pull the wool over his wife's eyes, always a good route to take.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You have to find a name that's one step removed. Right, so like with my son's name, I wanted to forge a connection to my long lost but most cared about rugby league team, the North Sydney Bears.
Right.
So I was never going to be able to name my child Jason Taylor or Greg Florimer.
Or North Sydney Bears.
Or North Sydney. North Sydney Bears.
North Sydney Perry.
What's that after? So I went for Ted. Ted teddy bear.
Okay.
North Sydney Bears.
Got it.
I only revealed that after.
Right.
My wife was appreciative of that. So I'm thinking maybe some rhyming slang for Sheeds.
Of course, yeah, a bit of cocky stuff.
I don't know. Lara, seafood marinara, you know. Marina. Marina is a girl's name of Latin origin. It means from the sea. So if you call your child Marina, a lovely name, he can know that that is Brian Lara, you know. Oh, yeah, Lara, seafood marinara.
That is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
That old seafood marinara.
I like it. Oh, the old seafood marinara.
I ordered his knock in Sydney, 277, old seafood.
Well, it's Brian Lara's thing. Good thing you just got the 100 in Lahore or something.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done that one.
It was a little bit toxic. I had...
whore.
Mate, what about... I had just Albie.
Yeah.
Just Albie.
Albie Morkel.
Albie Cummins.
Nice. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Albie Morkel, of course.
Yeah. Oh, so find the children's names of players you like.
That's right.
Not creepy at all.
Well, mate, here's the thing, though. Don't you feel like we could be looking at a Tiger Woods, Charlie Woods situation here?
Good player.
Like, I've
good
had a look,
definitely
I've had a look
good
at,
for the kid.
I've had, oh, yeah, I reckon Charlie's got a really good relationship with the game of golf, definitely. Mm.
Like Donald Bradson.
That's right. Mate, Charlie Woods' swing, Jesus Christ, it's a thing of beauty.
Yeah, you went off to a different space saying that. Looking off. Yeah.
I'm back. You know, Albie Cummins, you can't tell me that he isn't going to be, you know, a great leader of men, Australia's greatest ever test captain, all-rounder. No, I don't know.
Better than his old man. Sort
yeah, exactly.
Of gear.
Oh, yeah, just living up to just being better than your dad. That's everyone's stuff. My dad actually did a podcast in 1971. Didn't go so well. Fuck you, dad.
It was called The Shipping Report.
He's called The Great Shipper. My dad's podcast was The Great Shipper. What the fuck does that mean?
What's your show called, son? The Great Crickets?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's some ideas for you.
Anyway, a couple of ideas there.
Tim Blades writes in, men, not boys. Like it. The sadness in my eyes persona of yesterday's sleep-deprived sound pipe voicemail has awoken on an altogether nastier side of the bed this morning. A little 30-minute hair of the dog to see off the anguish of those bush horse fever dreams escalated, and now I feel all the worse for it. A quick shot of Mark Wood deck hitters rolled into a hot frothing mess of badly poured pints of dropped catches, plays and misses, and no fucking balls at all. My emergency vitamin C seltzer tablet, usually a fizzing reprieve of Stuart Broad against the dull ache of budget County 2's left-handers, had been swapped for a sadly out-of-date and ineffective leech. A leech prescribed not by some early modern alchemistic quack, but the finely tuned physicians in the legions of backroom staff. But this isn't Moneyball. It's smoke and mirrors. It is snake oil, ladies and gentlemen. This test match is the sacred cow at whose altar all other series for 2 years have been slain. And after it all, we have this. A captain who picked the wrong team and did the wrong thing. Yes, there have been injuries, COVID, bubbles, a relentless diet of soul-destroying T20 cricket, but perfectly good cricketers have been sent out to perish in the hot southern sun, whilst the Queen's own household cavalry graze on the veranda. Perhaps this is... is Andwana and Adelaide will be our Rorke's Drift. But this simply is not good enough. This is test match Ashes cricket. Not for analysts or matchups. Pick your best damn 11 and play to your strengths and hope to WG grace they're good enough. And if not, have a beer with Daddy after the promise to get him next time on a late May wobbler in Durham. That is our right. But I'll keep watching, even through the grim triumvirate of bloated backyard barbecue dad one-upmanship that is the Fox feed. There is a paucity of leadership in England and English cricket now. You know the vultures are circling when even the Scottish politicians are calling for playing with a straight bat. See, I told you they never miss a beat when Sassenachs suffer. I mean Saxons. Yeah. Oh, what's the question? I guess why I'm trying to find solace... I guess why am I trying to find solace in the internet hub of parodied superior masculinity and nationhood to my own crumbling identity? Shut my BT down, sport, so I can get some peace. Best business wishes, sad, angry Tim. He goes,
hey, mate, great read. Great read. And great question.
It was well written. Beautifully written.
Great question, Tim. Not a question, just a nice email or whatever. Mate, this is what I was talking about before, and we might end the show on this note, because this is a guy who's an anguished English fan. He must be in the UK. He's got BT Sport. He's paying 27 quid a month to watch this shit being turned up. Bad teams doing the wrong thing at the toss. People in politics doing things, having parties, but are they? Boris Johnson's going to get the fuck out of there as soon, isn't he? Anyway, that aside, it's the hope that kills you, but you have to carry on that hope, because the next test match starts on Thursday and it's a new game. Everything's back down to zero. Sure, it's 1-0 and it's going to be 5-0, fuck off. But you have to have hope in your heart.
Sad and wistful English is my favourite English. I've always said that. They can find the best and most twee, quirky words and phrases to elucidate their anguish. And I think through this summer, we're going to hear more of it. I haven't said this so far, he goes. I've held back. But yes, 5-0. Fuck off.